Today's Gospel lectionary reading comes from the 21st and final chapter of the Gospel of John. It starts out with some interesting words. It says, after these things. Well, it would probably help to know what after these things referred to. And in chapter 20, we hear the story of the empty tomb, Jesus' resurrection, followed by the story of Jesus appearing before the disciples in the upper room in what is commonly called the story of doubting Thomas. And it is after these things that this story begins. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to him, to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would be glorifying God. And after this, Jesus said to him, follow me. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. After last Sunday's excursion into personal and congregational lament, I'd like to begin this sermon by making a tie-in to my Easter Sunday sermon. And like the stories of Jesus' resurrection themselves, the post-resurrection stories, including the one that we have just heard from the Gospel of John, are taken by various people as either as the sharing of literal historical truth or as the revealing of metaphorical truth. And a biblically and theologically progressive perspective leads toward the latter. Therefore, we will focus on the question, what does it mean, rather than did it really happen? Saying that, let's take a closer look. You know, it's probably not too surprising that those of Jesus' disciples who were fishermen were back practicing their profession. They have been up the entire night without catching a single fish. But just as the sun is rising on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus, whom the disciples at this point do not recognize, sees that they have caught no fish and tells them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. Well, for some unexplained reason, these professional fishermen decide to obediently follow these instructions from some guy just standing on the shoreline. Well, the result of that is that so many fish were caught that they were not even able to haul them all into the boat. Now, we learn something here about reaping the benefits of actually following Jesus' teachings and instructions. And after the disciple whom Jesus loved recognizes that it is indeed Jesus, Peter jumps into the water and swims to the shoreline as the other disciples drag the net full of fish to shore. Now, a bit surprisingly, Jesus has a fire already going and is already cooking some fish and has some bread. And he adds some of the fish that the disciples have caught to this meal. I think we are being reminded that Jesus isn't just a teacher. He is also a provider. And the meal of fish and bread certainly harkens back to the miraculous provision story of the feeding of the 5,000. So after the breaking of bread, the communing with Jesus, we reach the climax of the story, which is the encounter between Jesus and Peter. Jesus asks Simon Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And each time, Peter responds with a resounding, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Now, given the historically important role of Peter in the development of the early Christian church, and most notably, as tradition goes, as the first pope, many biblical scholars now believe that this story is actually a later postscript chapter that was added onto the Gospel of John, and perhaps even by a different author. And that was done in order to mend Peter's reputation. Even though Peter is mentioned as one of the disciples who rush to the tomb on Easter morning, we are more prominently left with the story of Peter denying Jesus three times after his arrest. It is believed that perhaps the author of this story in John 21 had Jesus ask Peter three times if he loves him in order to negate the three times that Peter has previously denied him. And the effect is to restore the relationship between Jesus and Peter and to elevate Peter's status. But now comes the most important part of the story, Jesus' commission to Peter, and therefore Jesus' commission to those of us who seek to follow the ways and teachings of Jesus. We learn that when we follow the ways of Jesus, our response to loving God is to serve and care for others. It happens this way. Using the metaphorical language of shepherding, the gospel writer puts on the lips of Jesus the instructions to Peter, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep." And that, in a nutshell, is our mission as the church, as the body of Christ, the ones who are committed to actually following through with the ministry that was begun and modeled by Jesus. So this simple exchange between Jesus and Peter dissolves any distinctions between what it means to love Jesus and to serve others. They must go hand in hand. And that includes serving each other. Because we are all sheep. We are all part of God's flock. So our words of love must be matched by living a life of love. And this becomes the very framework for our discipleship. Feeding, tending, and caring for others. And though it may be a bit sexist to say so, on this Mother's Day, and more broadly on this celebration of Women Sunday, women do indeed perhaps model this the best. Our love for one another must be put into action and practice by feeding and tending Jesus' sheep, and especially, of course, those in need. So that is how we practice resurrection in the here and now. And to put this in even more dramatic terms, Jesus entrusted Peter, you and I, and us together with the very sacred work itself of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, feeding and tending sheep. So at our best then, we will follow this example by feeding, clothing, housing, educating, comforting, and nurturing people, helping to alleviate their and each other's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And sometimes, like Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we may ourselves need to head out to find the lost, the vulnerable, the frightened, perhaps even the desperate sheep, offering them the compassion offered to us when we were lost and lonely and afraid at our wits' end and not even sure maybe if we were loved. So that means that sometimes we may have to throw our nets on the other side. So this story in John 21 concludes by reminding us that this kind of loving and serving discipleship will not always be easy, for there are indeed risks involved. And we know this because, in fact, for Peter, it led to his martyrdom. But nonetheless, we are left with the same final command that Jesus gave to Peter. Follow me. To flesh all this out just a bit, I want to share a short quote from former President George Herbert Walker Bush. We all have something to give. So if you know how to read, find someone who can't. If you've got a hammer, find a nail. If you're not hungry, not lonely, not in trouble, seek out someone who is. I encourage you to reflect this week on how you, and we together as College Hill, live into and live out our commission to nurture and tend and feed Jesus' sheep, the children of God. And again, as a reminder, don't forget that each and every one of us is among that flock of sheep, and we all need tending and feeding. Amen.